Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to the Say What Show. It is June 13th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Ani Avedisian, the suburban shaman. So hi, guys. How are we today?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm groovy.
I'm excited because I got to hear Jan's good show today. Oh, I forgot something. My teeth.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Jan is... What the heck was she talking about just now that I'm like... I'm trying to get myself together to do things, and I got listening to her, lost track of time. What was she just saying?
I caught the last, like, 3 minutes, unfortunately, because I was working, but she was talking about Agenda 21 when I was listening in.
Yes.
Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050. They're going to keep pushing it out until they get it.
Oh, no, they're not, because they've run out of time.
They have run out of time this time, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get it done in time, and now they can't.
No, they can't, and there will not be an Agenda 2060. We're done.
Yep, we're done. No contract with that crap.
Mm-hmm. What is the agendas? I had to leave the computer, and I didn't hear that part. What are agendas?
Well, an agenda is a series of reforms, protocols, you know. So Agenda 21 that she's talking about, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050, it is the New World Order attempt to run the planet as a company, to erode national sovereignty, to open all borders and run it as a company would be run.
Oh,
so this means making people live in one place, moving industry to another place,
yeah.
And not having countries anymore. So, you know, not having America, not having England, not having national sovereignty. And then, of course, that will break down soul sovereignty and turn everybody into a homogenous goo. Yeah. And then they will take over the planet completely. And it will be Corporation Earth. Then their end game is to kill everybody who isn't useful to them. And that's it. Another notch in their reptilian empire, so to speak. Except, of course, Agenda 21 doesn't talk in those terms. It sounds very, ooh, lovely, like a new Green Deal and sustainability and living in harmony with nature. But you've got to read between the lines. So that's what she was talking about.
Thank you.
It would end up looking like instead of states in America, I think they're only going to have three regions.
Yeah.
And they're going to have mega cities, and outside of the mega cities will be these suburban things. But you will not have populations all over the world. They will be all brought into one thing because they want to control the minerals, the trees, the plant, everything.
Construction, production, energy, education, law enforcement, judicial systems, information, food, everything. There'll be an end to private property. So I hope all of you crazy, I mean, on the wrong end of the left wing are listening to this, because this is what you're letting happen now. Those of you who hate Trump more than you love America, this is what you're inviting into the country. It is an absolute, absolute plan of control. You will not have a representative government. You will have a centralized, globalized government, one currency, one religion, one everything, probably one pair of underwear that you'll have to wash every single day. It'll be just one of everything. You won't have any states. You'll have, I think they're planning on about 10 or 11 mega regions, no nation state, no individual cities, no borders.
History, no culture, no society.
No, let's pull down statues and rewrite history and pretend it never happened. Ooh.
I remember what she was talking about. She was talking about the Black Lives, which I hate to say this, Jan, but I kept thinking you were saying Black Lies, not Lives. And I'm going, wow.
She's from England.
She's from England. But
she's from Northern England.
But then I went to do it, and I'm going, no, even when I say it, they should have used a different term, I think. But anyway, she was saying that the money that everybody gives to them goes to this blue something or other. She's probably in chat.
Pack Blue?
She had to go to the store.
Store thing. I go once a month.
When you donate to Black Lives Matter,
yes,
it goes through a company. I think it's called Act Blue. And they do is they monitor and filter and distribute funds. They're a fundraising corporation, but they are a corporation that raises funds for the Democratic Party.
Oh, she was. But did you see the statistics of who these people are giving the money to and how much? $100 mm-hmm. million to Bernie?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this mm-hmm. is insane.
This has nothing to do with Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter, which in itself is an insult to civilization,
I agree.
In my opinion.
To everybody.
It's an insult to everyone's intellect and sovereignty.
Yeah.
But I know several people who have written to me because they donated to Black Lives Matter, and once they found out what happened to that money, they were disgusted, and a good portion of them are registered Democrats, and they were disgusted because it's taking money under false pretenses. So, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Wake up.
There was a segment done on Fox, and it was two best friends up in upper New York State, a white man and a black man, younger, you know, in 30s maybe. And they went out to the white man's driveway, and they set up a sign, and they said, "Why don't you come here and have a beer, and we'll talk about it?" Right? and people started getting behind this, and people started coming over and stopping by for a beer, just to, you know, neighborhood friendly stuff, and it got picked up by Fox, and they were being asked, you know, well, how'd this start? And the white man got so emotional, he started crying.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the black man put his arm around him and gave him a hug. We're okay, dude. You know, and somebody with money, one of those musicians, I think, I don't remember who it was, actually bought them hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of beer to give away.
Nice.
Oh my God.
You know, nice.
It's like I say, you know, last week I said, we can end all this problems, just have the military come in with their kitchens and set up free food. You know, you got a problem? Here, we're gonna help you, you know, have a good time and protest and be safe. And by the way, we're gonna feed you, you know. And this is even better. Give them a beer. Good Lord, why didn't I think of that? Give them a beer. Sit down and talk.
Everything's better with beer.
Everything. So, but, you know, there's this, again, even though it looked awful, you know, I mean, it's all blowing up in their faces. You know, more and more people, because, I mean, this white, what is it? What am I supposed to feel? Guilt, I guess. I think it's guilt. Right. What is it? Something, some word. And, you know, more and more people, oh, yeah, they're kneeling down in front of everybody, but yeah, right? But one black guy said, I only kneel before God. And this was a black man in a black, you know, group. And, you know, they nearly tore him apart. I mean, the hypocrites just come out like they show themselves, because if you don't do exactly what they tell you to do, well, you're nothing. Yeah?
Yeah, and God help you if you challenge the narrative, which, of course, is my job, and I do at every available opportunity.
Oh, no, I only say politically correct. I would never challenge anything. Did you hear the toilet flush, boys and girls?
Yeah. I heard your nose growing.
Yeah.
Seriously. It is It is the height. It is the grossest. I don't represent any community. I'll just, and I just buggers me that I actually have to say this now too, but everyone's so easily triggered. I don't speak for the black community. I'm pink. I'm so white, I'm actually pink. I don't speak for the pink community either. I speak for me. I would consider it the grossest insult if, as an Armenian who had 1.5 million of my countrymen and women massacred in ethnic cleansing by the Ottoman Empire and the Young Turk junta, I would consider it the grossest insult if they thought that I couldn't move on or have closure or thrive or get on with my life unless they made some sort of reparation and offered some sort of retribution. I mean, it is just such an insult to think that I feel it's an insult to the black community. Because what you're saying with Black Lives Matter is, again, you need white intervention to move on. It's saying that blacks can't thrive without whites going in there and saying, oh, gosh, we're so sorry. Now you can get on with your lives because we've admitted that we're sorry. It's insulting. It's embarrassing. It's cringing. It's immature. I don't even know where to go with this.
Well, let's go to a history lesson here, okay? Because one of the true fallacies of history that I'll bet, 99% of the world thinks is that the Civil War between the North and South of the United States was a war to free the slaves. That's absolutely bogus. What started it was the fact that the South was being unfairly taxed and essentially without representation. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Okay. So they're going to have a war. The South says, and legally by the Constitution could? Well, you're taxing us to death, for heaven's sakes. We're just going to start our own little group here, and you can go do whatever you want. And they had the right to do that. So they did that, and they seceded. And now you got a problem from the North standpoint is, oh, my God, they've left. They've gone away. We don't have control of them. What are we going to do? Let's lie. Weak, because they couldn't get anybody to join the armies. What would a normal northerner person, struggling maybe or not maybe, why would they go to war against the South? For tax reasons. For economics. They don't understand it. It's nothing, it doesn't move them. Well, how are you going to get them going? We're going to free the slaves. Okay,
there you go.
So this horrendous thing, this civil war that makes I'm supposed to be feeling guilty about, this civil war that was the beginning of the an indication of the institutionalized bigotry that we have in the United States is bogus, because people who went into the army were white people trying to free their black brothers. They died in the more people died in that war than when we lost in all wars combined. Okay, so you tell me that we are a bigoted country? No, not even the South was bigoted in many ways, because what they started out doing was an economic move. And then you made it a complete attack against the way that they survived economically. And a lot of those people were not, they were good to their slaves. A lot of slaves went into a tremendous amount of hardship because of the Civil War. They were being taken care of. And now all of a sudden they have nothing. You burned the places, the farms. You burned the way that the entire economy of the South, existed. I mean, come on, people, get real. But you don't remember the history, because they're trying to hide the history from you. A people will lose its identity in a generation, and they are working so hard. I mean, already everybody thinks it was over slaves. No, it was over taxes.
Right.
But the only reason that they fought the war was to free the slaves. Let's get a handle on that, huh? Please.
It helps to know the origin of a thing is one of my favorite phrases. It doesn't excuse this or that or the other, but it helps to know the origin of a thing. I also, when I first came to the States, it was very interesting to me that most Americans did not know that white slavery preceded black slavery in this country. And there is very little. And I'm not saying there isn't racism. It is across the board. It's not just even black or white, you know. But we had approximately, according to letters and, you know, approximately 300,000 white British people shipped out to the colonies in indentured servitude. And this is all thanks to Virginia and the cultivation of the tobacco crop there. So you need a lot of people hands-on to work this crop. And let's face it, slavery is cheap. So they picked up all of the ne'er-do-well white people, street children, even prostitutes, people who had migrated to Britain but weren't doing very, very well. They emptied out prisons, convicts, and they said to them, hey, you know, you can stay in this prison for 10 years. You probably die because prisons weren't very good in the 17th century. Or you can have a shorter sentence by being an indentured servant in the new colonies from maybe 3 years to 15 years, depending. And at the end of it, I'm sure we'll give you some free land. So, you know, they emptied out, they dumped out anybody that they didn't want and started sending them to America. And that was around 1620, I think. So these people, you know, you could say, oh, they were treated well because they were white indentured servants. No, they were not. And again, this is just for historical context. They were treated so badly that most of them didn't live more than 2-3 years after getting there. So that started a need, then a very high level of demand for more white slaves. And all the ne'er-do-wells of England, Ireland and Scotland. Ireland was not a problem for getting slaves because the British basically, they didn't like Catholics. They did not like Irish Catholics, and they treated them terribly. And so they just rounded them all up as well and brought them over to America. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to be in any of the books. The mortality rate was very, very high. They were treated so abysmally, the white slaves, that, you know, there were rebellions. I mean, I could talk for hours about it. I don't think there's any need to. And I'm not saying this for any other reason as historical context. Many people were brought here as slaves. And while I will completely agree that non-convicts, people who weren't convicts, who were European migrants, came to America and were certainly given a better deal. I mean, they got 40 acres and a mule, or cheap arable land, and freed slaves, as you mentioned, Nancy, went from emancipation straight to emaciation because of the circumstances of the war, and also because not having any status, because they weren't given land. And if you don't have land, you don't have status, and you also can't feed yourself because you can't grow your crops. But I think we need to really take a look at teaching properly how America, white America, black America, the America that we know today, was formed. Because it's not as simple as that. When I tell people about, you know, white Irish slaves or white Scottish slaves, or they go, what were you talking about? White people can't be slaves. We've never had slaves here. Oh, they were indentured servants. They were taken care of very, very well, you know. And what do you mean Britain tried to get rid of all the, obliterate the Irish Catholics to make room for to put the English in Ireland? That's not true. Well, it is true. What did they want to do with all those Catholics who wouldn't become Protestants? Well, they made them pay a fine. And if they couldn't pay the fine, which they couldn't, they went, oh, well, you can be a slave in America. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. So we need to take a really good look at our school system and teaching the true history of early America. And well,
that,
I'm just going to
go ahead. That's where they went after us, you know, was they changed all the education. There's no civics. They don't teach anything about civics. I mean, they did some weird, you know, poll, and, you know, it was like virtually nobody knew that there were, you know, that the government had three houses plus the Supreme Court. You know, I mean, it was just like, what? They don't have a concept of even the government. Never mind the fact that the government's a corporation.
Yeah, that's inexcusable for a citizen.
Absolutely.
But also, if I ask young Americans, what do they know about Bacon's Rebellion? They go, what? Like BLT Man, you know? Or Shays' Rebellion, or any of these early uprisings in the American colonies to do with slave owners, white or black, slavery. Nothing. They know nothing. The early history of Virginia, very important to learn the early history of Virginia. Nothing at all. It's no wonder you can easily be turned into a bleeding heart who doesn't think properly for themselves. And the media will have you jump on the next bandwagon that's out there. I mean, it is absolutely, I go through amusement, bemusement, confusion, a short sojourn into apathy, then back into confusion, and then into embarrassment, and then into disgust, and then a whole round of emotions. Every time the press tell you what the banner theme for that week is, every single corporation, every single person jumps on it. All of a sudden, you know, your local supermarket is saying, welcome to our supermarket. We are sensitive to Black Lives Matter. Welcome to our supermarket. We are sensitive to the coronavirus. Welcome to your supermarket. We are sensitive to the murder hornets that will be here next week, if nothing else is. Welcome to your supermarket. And we will be sensitive to the next thing that the Daily Spin churns out for you. And people just follow blindly, rah, rah, rah. It's out of control.
Well, you know what I found fascinating was how many big corporations jumped on the bandwagon. And, you know, we're with you, and we're going to give you all this money. To know now that all this money goes to the Democrats. I mean,
I hope that anybody who didn't know where their money was going causes a stink. It's nothing to do with Democrats or Republicans. I would be, because I am nonpartisan, both parties are broken. But if I gave money to an organization like that, which I would never do, and I found out it went somewhere other than where they said, that's my hard-earned money. I would be pissed as hell. And I hope there's a lot of comeback from that.
Well, I think Jan said that when you go to the Black Lives Matter to donate, it goes to that Blue Act place. And then if you really look at the small print on that, it says, oh, we're an activist and we can do this, and give political contributions. And then you can actually access the, you know, they have to be, because they have to have all this information public. And if you look at that, yeah, most of your money is going to the Democratic Party. And she listed all of the major presidential candidates had been, you know, given millions of dollars from this group. This Blue Act, it got the money because people were giving it from the Black Lives Matter. And then who was it that said, gosh, I wish I remembered who it was. It was a Democrat that said way back in the 50s, they said that, you know, let's get these black people on the food stamps and we'll give them all these little things because as long as we're given to them, they'll vote for us. And that,
oh, yeah.
That's when I heard that, and I actually heard the guy say it, I was like, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like, this is just, I felt a heart blow because I'm going like, that's what you think of the black people?
It's a massive marketing coup they pulled off.
Yeah, that you can buy them off? And that's not true. I mean, you know, right now, if I screamed for help, okay, I would have the two black families on both sides of me, the Latino family across the way, a Jewish guy behind me, and one white woman, single, come help me. That's my neighborhood.
Yep.
I mean...
Yep, same here. Same here.
You know, and when anything happens, these people call. You know, you're all right. Are you all right? You know, anything we can do. So I started crying when the white guy with his black friends started crying, because it's like, I don't think of a divide between myself and other people. They're all my family.
And well, I can't profess I have a lot of black friends, but I do have a few, and they are cringingly embarrassed at this Black Lives Movement. You know, they're creating issues where none exist. Really? I mean, in 1964, it was a different thing for many different groups, for gay people too. Yeah. But it's 2020. We have moved on.
And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Dolly. Hello, Dolly. Are you still there?
Yeah, I forgot she was here.
I've been biting my tongue because I've had comments.
Let's shut up and let Dolly talk.
Well, you can break in at any time, you know? You know, stand up for yourself, Dolly Howard.
Go for it, Dolly. Go.
I hate to be rude. Okay, before I forget, why was the white guy crying?
Because they asked him, why did you do this? And he was trying to explain that he was so upset with the way that they were trying to attack the white, black. He said, you know, I knew what he was talking about before he did, because I feel the same way. It's like, these are my friends. The black people are my friends. But the white people are my friends too. You know, why are you trying to break these awesome friendships that, you know, and because he felt his best friend is a black guy, he felt it was a personal thing with him, that they were attacking him, you know, and I think there's a lot of people that are emotional about the fact that, you know, because honestly, I've heard many more black people talking about how embarrassed they are about and saying, this isn't true, you know? And it's just really tragic that this media that is, you know, spreading this stuff. You know, I gotta go back. Jan, again, she hits really good things. Go back to the concept of what's happening here from the standpoint of, you know, you're not supposed to talk about God anymore. God talking is, you know, how many times when I was growing up, I'd hear, God bless you, you know, walk with the Lord, you know, all those little things, you know, everybody would say these things. But nowadays you don't want to say that. And the concept of the president, when he walked across Lafayette, I got to ask you this, Dalt, not Yanni. Okay, you know the episode where President Trump walked through Lafayette Park to go to the church, St. James, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, Dolly found this. She was talking about the last time. She found a picture where Clinton did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Clinton held the Bible up with his left hand, and Trump held it up with his right hand.
Right.
You know? And
I shared that picture of Dolly's all over social media.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Good.
I did.
Good.
I did, and I got a zero response from anyone.
Well, because it's not politically correct.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to talk about this stuff, right? But,
too bad.
But the thing of it is that, okay, so the president, you know, went and made a statement, a very powerful statement in my mind. You know, he said, you know, I'm standing up for this Bible, for this church. You know, and he was blatant about it. He didn't care that you're not supposed to talk like that, boss. You know, he's no, we're gonna get to, you know, It's a war of good and evil. And yep. This is my Bible. You might have another Bible, but this is my Bible, right? And then Pelosi and friends get this scarf that's an African scarf, you know, and they all got it on them, and they kneel down for, you know, about 9 minutes, and the colors, everything was so ceremonial, like ceremonial magic, mm-hmm. you know, but it was also usurping the black spirituality, let's say, you know, the association of the colors, the scarf, the images, the symbolism on these things. I was just appalled.
I was cringing.
But the stark difference, you know? Oh, wasn't that wonderful what Pelosi did, you know? And yet Trump standing up for his own religion. I mean, the hypocrisy is like you say, you don't know whether to laugh or cry.
You go through, you ping pong between the two. Anything is going to be used to bring in the globalist agenda. Right now, they're calling it systemic racism.
What does that mean, systemic?
It means it's institutionalized and ingrained and has gone over many generations.
It's system-wise. It comes from system. It's a system-wide system.
It's a system, all right.
And it's been there for a while. You know, it's just, it's ingrained. It's there right across the board.
In their genes, so, in our genes, in my genes, yes. This man said,
"Yes, I can't fit into my genes anymore after 3 months of being at home." But that's another story. So they are using this to call for United Nations intervention to disarm the police force, which is something that we need to look at quite seriously, because this is exactly what what Hitler was trying to do or did. So that to disarm the population, to disarm the police force, the civilian police force, so he could bring his own brown shirt people in there. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that George Floyd's family has a GoFundMe campaign. I'm going to look into this, and maybe I shouldn't be talking about it until I completely research it. But I believe that somebody, or either they or somebody on their behalf, petitioned the United Nations to come in and investigate systemic racism in America and disarm the police. And I believe that there's a GoFundMe campaign with several million dollars in it.
Let me guess. Does this go through Blue Act?
It's a GoFundMe. GoFundMe. Yeah. So GoFundMe, no, it doesn't go through Blue Moo or whatever it is. So what we're seeing here, again, is another attempt to instill the Agenda 21 programs, okay? Sort of a just ending this thing about not being able to say God or Allah or whatever. All of that is part of the New World Order. One religion, one currency, one rule of law, one pair of underwear, one blue maoist suit. You know, this is where we have been heading. And I'm going to have to say that until the military asked Mr. Trump to run for president, they were 80% critical mass poised to take over the world and put in New World Agenda. Nobody was more surprised than the establishment that this contagion that they unleashed on the world failed to kill the billions of people that they had hoped it would kill. You know, this is, I would like people just to think about it, wake up a little bit. If you love America, if you love living in a in national sovereignty, if you love the principles of America, you know, whatever happened, happened, genocide happened. These things happen. My God, they happen all the time. We treat each other abysmally. But that doesn't mean that America's sacred purpose doesn't stand. It doesn't mean that we still can't be a nation of spiritually centered yet secular free thinkers or worship any religion, and it do no harm to none to worship in any way that we please. This is what they're trying to... Sorry, I'm just going to finish my sentence.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
This is because I had a giant cup of Turkish coffee before this show. So this is what they... If you don't understand what they're trying to do out there, people, they're trying to eliminate national sovereignty. You will no longer be an American. You will no longer be anything other than a corporate minion. And I don't understand why you won't do some basic research into this and see what is so very clearly before your eyes. It's all there in plain view. Nothing is hidden. You just have to pick up the pamphlets and read. Okay, Nancy, go.
Okay, I got a question for Dolly.
I didn't get to finish.
Okay, why don't you finish and then I'll ask you the question.
Okay. Let me think how to word it right. I had it worded right, and then... I'm not saying this to offend black people, because I can empathize with the way they've been treated since I've been alive to this day. Well... in some ways they've been treated. Yes, I saw as I was growing up that the black people weren't getting the job. The white people were getting the job over the black people. But things changed. And then the white people were being racism because the black people, it didn't matter if they had the education or not. If they were black, especially a woman, they got the job over anybody else. So, I don't have sympathy on that issue anymore. And I'm not crying and complaining because I'm a white woman and I had more education than the black woman who didn't have the education, but she got the job. I mean, that's life. You just go on and you look for another job. At least I did. So, okay. We got that issue solved for the black people. And then they always try to throw up when anything gets a little rough in a discussion. Well, we were slaves and we deserve to be treated better because we came over from Africa as slaves. And okay, get over that shit. Your parent, the people who were in the boats and came over and were raised as slaves, they were the ones who were raised as slaves. They aren't around anymore. You're around. You were born an American in America. So I can see where there's issues against black people, but it's not like it was. You are not a slave. I got no sympathy for you being a slave. You never were a slave. You got issues. White people have issues. Japanese people have issues. Chinese people have issues. Vietnamese people have issues. Do you hear them out whining and crying and sobbing? Well, I need special stuff because my ancestors were brought over from Africa and they were slaves. No, that's old. That's done in my world. Now, if you want to be treated special, you need to deserve it. We have to deserve it. We have to deserve being treated good as individuals. And when we get told, oh no, you can't have that job because you're white. Oh, okay, I get disappointed, but I move on and I go look for another job. That's what you should do. But I believe sincerely believe all races should get together in their cities, and then send a representative from their city into state, and then send representatives from the state into the government. But in your meetings, in your first meeting, the city, discuss these awful issues against the black people. The white cops are not just against the black people. They're against, and they aren't really against. Well, the bad cops are. And bad cops come in all colors and all nationalities. They're not just white. And look at the mayor in Detroit. They kept electing this dude, and he was so crooked, I don't know how he could walk, because he was so crooked. But anyway, my point is, everybody is treated badly in some way, but quit trying to make people feel guilty by saying, my great parent was hit. And so you need to have sympathy on me because my great parent was hit. Bullshit. You're you. Stand up and be you. Stand up for yourself. And once you've stood up for yourself, you can start including your friends, your relatives, whatever. Get back to this meeting. I think that all nationalities should get together in this first meeting and hammer out the issues that are so freaking blatant, where this race is picked on for this, or this race is picked on for that, or because some people have slanted eyes. Oh my gosh, they're awful. They need to figure out something that their eyes aren't slanted. No. Talk it out, to discuss it. Or I don't know how to explain it anyhow else. Try to figure out what is causing the most issues for everybody, for every nationality. And in the cities, I bet they could come up with some pretty good solutions. And that people would start to like each other and look past the color. Color doesn't matter. Look past the color. Look past the slanted eyes. Look past big-feeted people, or people with blue eyes, or... Get past these issues. Talk it out amongst yourself. Come up with solutions. Take these solutions to representatives in the state. And then go over more issues that you'll find out there are. And then just keep it going, like I said before. Keep it going. Let's look for solutions. Let's stop this whining and crying and sobbing about issues. You are not that issue anymore. You are you. You need to be you. Stand up and be you. And then you can help other people to stand up and be them, and join a group where you're going to be you and get along. Okay, that's what I wanted to say about that. So go ahead, Nancy.
Well, my question to you is, if we're supposed to be feeling all this guilt about...
Which I don't.
This guilt about the black... being guilty about what happened to the black people. And we should essentially give our country over to something because we're diseased with this systemic bigotry. I say, oh, okay, all right, I'll go along with that. So I guess we better all leave and give it back to the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think I'm going to put up a YouFundMe. Yes, I agree with this, but the people that really got ripped off was the Native Americans. So if you want to go along with this philosophy, then pack your bags. We all got to go back to wherever our great, 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 great parents came from and give it to the Native Americans.
Mine were England. My grandpa came.
I came down
over
from the
boat.
Heavens. I don't. Yeah, that was. Rocket,
you're going to have to go back to heaven.
Let me ask you something, Ani. Do you have any inkling or information regarding the fact that we had all this looting and terrible things happening and there was all these bad actors from other places and suddenly it stopped? Have you heard that over 1,000 of them were arrested, well, actually executed?
I did hear that, yes.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I did hear that.
You mean the rioters?
The bad guys, and they're not even Antifa, and they're not even. These are militarized armed forces that are well trained to do what they did. This was a military war. It's a war. I mean, I knew that we were under attack by foreign entities, So you know, within the concept of the war on terror, they would have had every single right.
Exactly. There is a lot of evidence and photographic evidence, too, of undercover military wearing the vests underneath their shirts and carrying the weapons. And you know, the cabal is fighting for its life. So are we, by the way, the Patriots. But the cabal is fighting for its life. And it is, I said this last time, and every psychic of note will say the same thing. From now till the end of the year, the poop is going to hit the pavement. It is a very, very dirty war that is being fought here. The establishment have had control of this planet through having control of our minds for a very long time now. They're not about to say, oh, well, we lost. Let's all pack up and go to another planet. They're bringing out...
I need to interrupt just for a minute, Ani. Mm-hmm. This is going on. This is another reason why I think we should stop with seeing the color. We need to join together and fight this stuff.
We the people are okay with this.
Yes.
I mean, I understand what you were saying about, you know, victimization because of past events. Years ago, when I started speaking to Armenians, when they got up every year in the diaspora on April the 24th and bemoaned the fact that they were massacred by the Ottoman Empire and the Young Turk junta. So, for heaven's sake, people, that was over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You all have genocide complex. Do you honestly, are your lives on hold because you're waiting for the Turks to acknowledge responsibility? Don't hold your breath. Have some self-respect and get on with your lives. No. All of that aside, we understand, but it's not we the people. We the people are generally, with a few pockets, there's always demographics where it's a little bit different. We're generally solid. We're okay with it. It's the media that come in, the mouthpiece of Soros and the mouthpiece of the establishment, that come in with these ridiculous campaigns and start stirring up all sorts of triggers and emotions in people because they want to push their agendas.
Yes.
You know, we the people, there's very few. I understand what you were saying about affirmative action and all of that. My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, would talk about that as well. And, you know, we could all have handled everything throughout all of history so much better, but we didn't. So here's a wonderful Irish statement. You have to start from where you are, okay? So, and I'm sorry about the terrible accent. So we're going to start from where we are. We, the people, generally are good. We're solid. It's the media. And the problem is that people don't engage in two things that are very important. Well, three things that are very important. Meditation, prayerful contemplation, critical thinking, and socializing outside of their small social circles. And this means that their minds are hijacked very, very quickly, and they jump on whatever bandwagon, what I call the daily spin, feeds them every day. And before you know it, people that are perfectly okay with each other suddenly start looking at each other with suspicion and thinking, God, should I be feeling bad for something that happened 2.5 centuries ago? Yes. Is it my fault? Am I a racist? You know, I'm sorry, man, but, you know, think about it. There are racists in this world, but world, that is not the majority.
Right.
And you can't just talk. It's just that the whole thing is an embarrassment and an erosion of our intellect. And I urge people to take a look at the agenda of political correctness, because it has been a major establishment tool in getting you to believe whatever the establishment want you to believe. We the people are okay if we stop referring to each other, except unless if we need to identify someone. You could say, you know, the Chinese-American guy or the olive-skinned Armenian-American guy, you know. If we
the
stop,
white dude over there.
The white dude over there, the pink woman. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
If we stopped referring to each other in this way, unless it was necessary for identification purposes, it really isn't an issue. There is a metaphysical tenet that what you feed grows and what you do not feed slows. So stop buying into problems that aren't really there, and then we can tackle what racism there is, what bigotry there is. We could tackle those quite easily. And I will say all of these things, as Dolly mentioned, need to be done on a local level. Because then the big thing about globalization is not to allow you to make decisions at a local level for your own community. This is very, very important that people understand this. Global government, centralized government, when we go to city hall meetings, you already hear the New World Agenda being spoken in there. Well, for example, in something as simple as, why are you going forward with 5G when you know that there's a lot of evidence to the contrary, you know, regarding health with 5G? Well, we're going to do whatever the FDA tells us to do. Why? Why are we having a local city council meeting then, if we're already bowing our heads to our centralized, globalized corporate overlords? We're just going through the motions. This is, you've got to come together, and you've got to stop being distracted by every little bug that they put in your ear. And you want to take a look at each other here as Americans of all different colors and sizes and orientations and go, why did we found this country? I mean, yes, we founded it to exploit it initially, but once we got over the colonies and the cutting down the trees and the tobacco and all of that.
Yeah.
No, you got to laugh, you know. So you gotta have a laugh. It's not disrespectful to laugh, you know. To mock is disrespectful. To laugh is not. When the founding fathers, all of them imperfect in their own way, thank heavens, because they were just men, got together and said, look, we have an opportunity here to build something for free thinkers. We have an opportunity here to be a beacon of light for the rest of the world. Those are the principles America was founded on. And I've lived here 30 years in support of those principles. And I'll be darned if I'm going to die and having failed in supporting those principles. America's understanding of its sacred purpose is pivotal to the rest of the world. How we respond to this New World Order threat, to this globalization that is being channeled through an excessively liberal agenda. How we respond to that today defines the next 1,000 years. And I am not going to live any longer under Luciferian control. So I'm seeing the awakening. And I urge people, you know, to talk, to discuss, not to be afraid to say what's on their mind, with as much grace and empathy as possible, and for the right reasons, for the betterment of mankind, for the understanding so we understand each other, just as Dolly just said her piece quite eloquently, I thought. Yeah. Oh, let's not be afraid to crack open a beer and talk about these things, because we're going to find we the people, we are on the same page most of the time. It's that pesky little 1% at the top that hate to see us united and loving each other. Please bear that in mind.
Yep, they don't want us to love, they want us to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, again, rushed the agenda. Because they may have been able to do this, except for one thing. They could never get rid of that stinking, you know, Second Amendment right. We still got guns, and you know, and they say that every, you know, the gun business is going wild. Oh, you're going to get rid of the police? Well, let me arm myself. You know,
my local dealer made 20,000 in about 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah,
I did what I had read on the Facebook. I ordered 3 cans of wasp and hornet spray. Gonna put one in Annette's room, one by the door, the front door, and one in my bedroom by my bed. Because Annette and I were talking about getting a gun, but I read that thing. Thank you so much, whoever posted it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I got those because it shoots 20 feet out, and you don't have to try to figure out, gosh, where's the safety? How do I get it off? Is the gun loaded? If I pull the trigger, am I going to hit the person, or am I going to hit my neighbor across the street? With these cans, with the spray sprays out, you're going to be able to hit them. And they say go for the eyes. They may be blind, but it'll only be until they get to the hospital and the hospital people wash their eyes out. So I figure for us, that is the safest thing we can have to combat anybody trying to come after us.
I've always said the safest weapon is the one that you know how to handle well.
Yeah. And I know how to handle those well.
And Dolly, it'll be very useful if they do unleash the murder hornets as the next end of game scenario.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You'll have to get me the link. Did you order it online?
The hornet spray?
Yeah.
I ordered it from Walmart. They had it on sale 3 for... It's just the spray, Nancy.
Any brand? I mean, it doesn't have to be a special brand. Hornet spray.
Wasp. I got wasp and hornet spray. Just find hornet spray. Or wasp spray, whichever they said.
Okay, wasp and hornet spray.
Yeah. I got so excited about it because I thought, now I don't have to worry about Annette getting hurt with our own gun.
Well, when I was questioning the fact that maybe we were going to lose the Second Amendment, I went out and got like this. Well, actually, I was given to me, you know, this. What my boss said, because I was in the arms business. What my boss said is, after they begged me to take a gun because of Irma and New Orleans and all that. All right, just shut up. Give me a gun. And then what he said is, he said, I know you. He said, this is the kind of gun you can put it in the corner and you can leave it there for 50 years, and when you pull it out, it's still going to fire. I said, good. But I don't know where it is.
So much for your Second Amendment right.
And not only that, I don't know where the 100 rounds of ammunition is either. And right now, God. If I pulled the trigger the first time, my shoulder's so bad, I'm sure I couldn't pull it a second time. So maybe I'll just call them up and say, listen, I've decided I want a grenade launcher. We're gonna
blow the whole neighborhood.
Okay, well, see, no, because before, see, a grenade launcher, you can fire it, but it's got to go 30 feet before it actually triggers, engages. And in my yard, there's not 30 feet before you'd hit a tree, so it would be a dud. But since the big tree left the property, oh, yeah, I could hit the road easily, you know. Flash bang, give me some flash bang. Yeah, we'll have them dancing. Grenade launchers. Arm yourself. All right. With all that, we're going to say hi to Self-Liberation from Barbara Menezes and Craig Stewart, and it's going to be just under 5 minutes. Say What Show. It is June 13, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Ani Avedisian, our resident historian. You know an awful lot of history.
I read. I forget half of what I read these days, but I read.
And what would you like to talk about now?
Well, if I may, I don't want to, Dolly, if I interrupt you, you must say.
If you interrupt me?
Yeah, you must speak up, because I've had a lot of coffee and I think I'm a little too overworked today.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, I didn't mean to go overboard in any way, and I didn't mean to. There's no meanness in what I said. I'm just tired of hearing the whiners, and I want people to start learning how to communicate and get along with each other, and not do the slurs against each other, and be mean and just. Put color blinders on your eyes and pretend everybody is the same color. Maybe orange or yellow or maybe purple. Just do whatever you got to do to look at everybody as the same.
Or just look at everybody and see that everyone's different and go, oh, that person is a person. They have a different color.
That's good.
They have a different color.
Yeah, accept them for who they are, what color they are. That's the better way to say it, Ani. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, the whole beauty of America for me is that it's not a homogenization. It's the set of values that make you an American. And let's be romantic and say, well, you know, what the Founding Fathers' principles and all of that. I think it's wonderful in this country that, you know, Americans of Armenian origin are wonderful at making kebabs. I go to my Asian American friends, you know, I get the best pho and the best noodles, and then they combine it with American. I just love the whole combination of it. It's no one is saying you have to squash your racial identity, your roots, because that's part of your DNA. The whole point of America is you can be all of that, but share the common values that we are really all one beings created from source energy. And it's wonderful that we have diverse interests, diverse foods, diverse ways of looking at things. But somehow when we all come together as Americans, we're forced to take a look at our common, or we should be made aware of what the common values are here, is that, you know, there's a mutual respect. It's not unlike the old earth magic, you know. As long as you don't hurt anyone, worship as you will. And everybody works for their betterment so that they go to bed every night and go, am I a better person today than I was yesterday? And they work for the betterment of their tribe, their society, their nation. It sounds also terribly romantic, but that really is the purpose of any physical incarnation, is to learn unity through diversity. That's what it's all about.
You said it so much better than I did. Thank you.
I don't know that I did. It's just that I have an English accent, and that goes a long way in America. It doesn't do a thing for me back home, but, you know, just seems to do something here, for which I'm very grateful, to be honest. So I would like to, if I may, read Matthew's message from June the 4th.
Oh, please, yes.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Explain.
Who's Matthew?
Introduce Matthew, please.
I will. Matthew Ward is on the other side, and he lived as a human chap here for 17 years when he died in a car accident in Panama. He is the son of Suzanne Ward, the author of the Matthew books, Revelations for a New Era, Illuminations, Amusing to Profound, My Conversations with Animals, blah, 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 who's still alive and lives in rural Camas in Washington State. Luckily is a dear friend of mine. When Matthew died, the family was distraught. No one wants to lose a child. And it took Suzanne Ward a very long time to come to terms with the fact that there was such a thing as a soul contract. And Matthew's soul contract with Suzanne was that he would die when he was a young man, and he would evolve into a greater being on the other side and channel pertinent information to her so that on Earth, our spirit can inhabit our human. Now, those are my words, not his, but that's the gist of what he does. Matthew has been channeling for several years. If you go to the website matthewbooks.com, you can see all of his archived messages. And he talks about metaphysics, spirituality, all of that, of course, but as it relates to our lives on Earth. And as such, he will talk about politics, he will talk about religion, he will talk about how the spirit lives inside and has to operate through the human. And I've always found him to be a reliable source, a gentle, loving source. And he's a very, very high-level soul now who does not even need a body. He is just pure light that travels from place to place across the cosmos. No, not the cosmos. I've just been corrected. Across this universe. And if he wants to make a body, which sometimes apparently is expedient, he will do so. And he puts out a message every month. And I will say, I recommend you go look through them. They're interesting. If you're interested in extraterrestrials and channeled information, Suzanne Ward is a wonderful lady, very sassy, but in her late 80s. So I'm not sure how many more of these we're going to get. So I'm going to read the one from June the 4th, 2020. It's a little bit longer than usual. So put your feet up, make yourselves a cup of tea. Messages from Matthew as channeled June the 4th, 2020. Coronavirus and the deep state, media, mind control, law of attraction, vibrations, internet information, US President Trump, and three messages from the virus. With loving greetings from all souls at this station, this is Matthew. Especially in times of great upheaval, such as now, please let whatever fills you with joy or inspiration or thankfulness be the beginning and ending of each day. The high vibration of those sensations and visions do wonders for health in mind and body and spirit. Now then, our last message about this pandemic serves equally well today, but we shall be more explicit about why mainstream media are keeping the coronavirus in your face, so to say. This is the mind control part of the Dark One's agenda, and they combine it with the universal law of attraction. They know the energy of thoughts and feelings brings back what matches them. The extent to which they are using that combination to deceive and manipulate the populace is mind-boggling. Their TV media repeatedly airs films of patients with respirators, so you will be fearful about contracting COVID-19 and feel angry, scared, and resentful about its adverse impact on your life and livelihood. The Dark Ones require the low vibrations of those negative reactions to sustain themselves and keep their pandemic going. Their medical experts claim that testing, mask wearing, and social distancing are essential, and that crowds gathering, not wearing masks, and businesses reopening too quickly are endangering you and your loved ones. In addition to keeping the populace on edge by reporting that some test results are incorrect or inconclusive, they tell you again and again that disregarding CDC guidelines makes it even more likely that another wave of the disease, which could be worse than the first, will hit in a few months. Those quote-unquote experts know that masks prevent normal inhalation and exhalation, normal respiratory functioning, and that weakens your immune system. Their stay-at-home mandate is creating more stress, and stress also weakens immune systems. A populace with compromised immunity is very susceptible to illness, and that would result in more deaths, the second wave of COVID-19. Like the false statistics that have been fed to you almost daily, deaths from any cause would be attributed to that disease or a complication thereof. You are told that the virus will continue its killing spree until the entire populace is vaccinated. The Dark Ones need the public's positive response to a vaccine ending this pandemic, so the energy of those thoughts and feelings will bring to fruition their mandatory vaccination plan. Originally, quote-unquote, experts said that developing a vaccine would take at least 2 to 3 years. Maybe that wait time didn't produce the fear energy that was expected, or maybe the Dark Ones didn't want to wait that long to annihilate you. Now, a few laboratories are being so successful in developing a vaccine that it might be available before the end of this year, they say. Indeed, it will be. Vaccines laden with a deadly amount of pathogens and the programmed microchips that also would be the inoculation were ready well before the coronavirus was released. All aspects of this pandemic agenda of the Dark Ones, let us call them deep state, the term now commonly used, were meticulously planned years ago after their attempts with SARS, avian flu, and other laboratory-designed viruses failed to produce the pandemics that, like the coronavirus, were intended to kill billions. We add this vital point. Extraterrestrial scientists among you have greatly reduced the toxicity of that vaccine supply and erased the chip's programming. Dear family, the awakening souls who are questioning official statements need to know about mind control law of attraction efforts underway, but relatively few have advanced sufficiently in conscious awareness to believe in off-planet messengers. You can refer friends, family, and acquaintances to the internet, which has a treasure trove of accurate information from medical specialists and researchers about the nature of viruses and the principles behind this pandemic. Deep state operatives who control the internet remove everything they can that exposes them and their diabolical activities, but they cannot suppress all of the truth that is coming to light. And the following is a question that was sent in. I've never been a Trump supporter, but I found his comments surprising and encouraging. He said, vaccine or no vaccine, we're back. He was referring to reopening businesses, and vaccine will be voluntary. Not everyone will want it. Can Matthew please give us some insight here? And this is back to Matthew. President Trump is aware of the truth about this pandemic. Knowing that one of its aims is economic ruin of this country, he is acting to prevent that and derail the sinister plan for mandatory vaccination globally. He also is aware that deep state operatives instigated the rioting and looting in what began as peaceful protests in his country. While he could have handled these situations more skillfully and wisely, he cannot speak about his knowledge or act more forthrightly without jeopardizing what is happening behind the scenes. All dominoes in the prosecution process are being lined up so those who are responsible for COVID-19 and many other crimes against humanity can be arrested and face judicial punishment. The pandemic is the latest step in the march for global control by deep state. And by going against that force, President Trump has made formidable enemies. Not only the individuals at the top of the alphabet agencies of the medical establishment like AMA, FDA, NIH, CDC, there's the World Health Organization, Big Pharma, medical equipment companies that supply the manufacturers, but all their cohorts around the world that have been controlling life on Earth. The president's allies, the others in the international group of influential individuals whose efforts to end darkness in its entirety are undergirded by the light, are, however, more powerful. Now we present a different perspective of the coronavirus from what mainstream media are conditioning the society to believe. I asked my mother, Suzanne Ward, to copy the message she received from the virus. And this is a copy of the virus talking to Suzanne Ward, May the 12th, 2020. The virus says, "Yes, Suzanne, I asked you to talk with me. Of course it's possible. Everything is energy. Energy is consciousness. You think of me often, but never with fear and always with accuracy insofar as what information about me is deceptive by intention or by ignorance. I am like other viruses, just part of life on planet Earth, ubiquitous, and we have functions that have nothing at all to do with sickness. It is by adding pathogens to us in laboratories that we become contagious and spread diseases that are not our true nature. Yes, deaths have happened by malignant intention, and many are not due to what scientists mutated us into. Fear and death are their two objectives, both emit low vibrations that dark ones feed on. The evil of those who are deceiving everyone will be undone soon. This time, Earth's people are waking up. Matthew is helping, but it's the brave medical specialists and respected researchers that people will believe. Telepathic communication isn't understood yet. That will come. But still, a virus speaking to a person is beyond the belief potential of most. Thank you, Suzanne, for taking my message. Do you have a question you would like to ask me? Suzanne, thank you. Are you aware of deaths worldwide and precautions countries are taking to protect their citizens? Virus, oh yes, of course we are. Suzanne, are governments being sensible in what they're doing, masks and social distancing? Virus, they think they are, but we see masks as counterproductive. Suzanne, do you know when the disease they're calling COVID-19 will end? Virus, no, not in your time concept, but the current infections will end. You know the mad scientists can start another wave at any time. Suzanne, yes. Yes, but will they be caught before they can do that and can develop vaccines in quantity to require vaccinations worldwide and put programmed microchips in them? Virus, we understand that what you call divine intervention will not permit that to happen. Suzanne, what is your source of that information? Virus, the originator of all life forms in this universe. Suzanne, that's the best source. Virus, yes. Evil has been ruling the planet too long. It is being stopped. Suzanne says, thank you for talking with me. Do you have a name? The virus responds, we don't like the name given to us by evil minds, the coronavirus. It is not necessary that you call us anything. Suzanne responds, okay. Are you speaking as an individual virus or for the countless other viruses? Virus, I'm speaking on behalf of all of us. Suzanne responds, thank you. I'll share this with people who can understand. The virus says, Matthew understands and knows what I told you is true. And Suzanne says, yes, I agree. Many scientists know too. To which the virus says, yes, and they are the ones speaking out. They are the ones people on the planet will listen to. That's what will be the downfall of the evil minds who are misrepresenting us as deadly. It is those minds that are being deadly to the people. Suzanne says, thank you for talking with me. And the virus says, thank you for taking my message. And back to Matthew. A virus transmitting a message is highly unusual, to be sure, but not unique. Two others with whom the virus communicated wrote to my mother about their experiences. The following is from a highly evolved soul, a retired professor of biology, whom I know well in this lifetime and others. He and his wife are opening energy portals at sacred sites in South America and establishing a university program for indigenous communities. And he has not been named, but this is what he said, the biologist. I was sitting in São Paulo Airport, waiting for my plane to go to New York, and seeing that the virus threat is in the minds and emotions of many, but not all the travelers. I started wondering, why are we feeding the virus with our fears? Or where is and what is that fear? In some way, I could put aside the fears because we, the people of light, we're mobilizing whatever we can to invite peace and compassion for us and for everybody else, love being the strongest element. Then I started pondering about that poor virus that got stuck in a strange process. Putting aside the unusual judgmental reaction to the trouble, I almost had a compassion for it. In a kind of silenceless silence, I began to perceive, or to be in the presence of this coronavirus. It was not like you are in contact with a person or an individual or an entity, but with a dimensional reality unit or something that you can feel or something you are with. I felt like an undefined compassion and love for that reality. In its essence, it certainly was not evil. Our communication and contact, it came soon. It was a sense, a feeling, an awareness that was not from a defined being, but from a perceivable defined reality. The perceptible reality with whom I was with together, or with a piece of existence that we were sharing, was creating or painting a communication, a togetherness and not an apartness. In my mind, or in my heart mind reality, was a written something that was filling my coexistence, the piece of the awareness unit that came from the coronavirus. It said, we are not good or bad. We are neutral because we are good bad. It is the people that make us good and bad. And with that, they are defining us and our existence. My perception of it was like a field of white light, like a soft fabric, like a gentle white towel, really undefined in its communication, reminding of sharing a reality. The coronavirus reality occasionally still appears to me as if asking for understanding, help, and confirming friendship on some other dimension. I think its essence is deeply connected to the total manifestation of life, nature, and humanity. It is a server of the human life and to the beyond beyond life. To remember, biologically, a virus can be a life and it can be a no life. I'm still pondering about this encounter and trying to help it, the virus, and us to neutralize the unwilling impact it generates, inviting it and urging it to become neutral. And that's the end of that particular chap's explanation, which I thought was really long-winded. He's trying to explain it and not doing a very good job. So, last part here, Matthew says, another radiant soul, a gardener whose loving interaction with plants produces amazing crops and flowers, described her experience. And this is that experience. The first truth I heard was that it was created with ill intent by the Illuminati in this country, the USA, and then taken over to China. And early on in its journey, all of our light and help from the Galactic Federation joined the virus and changed its trajectory from a lethal weapon meant to kill billions to instead a means to wake up the entire planet to a dismantling and reset process. And the virus has gone home, having evolved in the process. And Matthew's closing, beloved family, be fearless and optimistic during this time of commotion and confusion. A peaceful, beauteous, healthy world is rising from the ashes of long ages of darkness. The world you are helping to manifest in your time is flourishing in the continuum. You and the light already are victorious, with love and with peace. And that, my friends, was the latest monthly message from Matthew, which was channeled June the 4th, this month, this year.
Thank you for sharing that. Did you have something to say, Dolly?
No.
Okay, because if you don't, I have a special guest on tonight. Okay, I think you'll recognize him.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and he's only going to be here for 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, get off and let him talk.
Okay, here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Whoops, 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 whoops. Wait a second. Wait a second. Are you there? 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 Mr. Gates.
Oh, useless what? Eaters. As your unqualified, non-elected global human health overlord, I'd like to take this opportunity to flaunt my position of power and influence over society and share some of my plans for you and your future. When I amassed my fortune in computer software, I demonstrated that I was willing to lie, steal code, cheat my partners, and exercise monopolistic control to destroy my competitors. Now that I've retired, I can rebrand myself as a humanitarian. With my for-profit foundation masquerading as a charity, I can advocate for population reduction and sponsor mass human experiments with unproven vaccines in vulnerable populations. Like my father, a powerful banker, eugenicist, and Rockefeller crony himself, it's always been my ambition to decide who lives and, more importantly, how many have to die. Whether it's under the guise of climate change or world health, it's really all about controlling and culling the human herd for fun and profit. In November of last year, I hosted Event 201, a war game simulation of a global pandemic. Leaders from private corporations, global banks, governments, and the media got together to strategize ways they could align in lockstep when responding to a worldwide health crisis. Using a coordinated campaign of fear-mongering, intimidation, social shaming, and economic blackmail, we realized that we could get around dangerous philosophies like individual liberty and national sovereignty. With an obedient population, we would be free to implement our own top-down solutions, like forced quarantines, social distancing, contact tracing, and mandatory testing, as a means to seize technocratic control of society. Now imagine my excitement when we had the opportunity to declare our own global pandemic. It was my chance to look like the Nostradamus of public health and to position myself and business partners like Dr. Fauci as the de facto authorities on response and solutions. Through exaggerated doomsday scenarios and computer simulations, our petty control freaks instituted harsh rules and draconian lockdowns. Even after our dire predictions proved false, scared and well-meaning people continued to submit to the arbitrary and foolish demands of their so-called leaders. Having achieved global lockdown and medical martial law, we will continue to hold hostage your ability to congregate, work, travel, or do just about anything until we're prepared to roll out our bigger plan. I like to call this Pandemic One, because believe me, we have others in the works. Our final solution is to have you begging for us to vaccinate, tag, and digitally track each one of you like livestock. Not only will my foundation enjoy legal immunity and trillions in profits, but these mandatory experimental vaccines will move us so much further down the road to absolute centralized global control.
If only my good friend Jeffrey Epstein had been here to celebrate with me aboard the Lolita Express. So remember, global citizens, this will end when I say it ends. Could be a year, maybe 2 years, maybe never. I guarantee that if we have our way, it will be at least until you're not able to do anything to stop it. Just surrender your personal freedom and common sense to our fear merchants and government and the media, because none of this works unless you all go along with it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to do some augmented reality spirit cooking with Marina Abramovich. Bye now. Hello, you...
Where did you get that?
I was disappointed.
Where did you get that? Who did that?
Nancy.
I did that. Let me, I'm getting the, I've got the, I'm going to put it in the YouTube thing. I found, I don't know how I found it. Somebody probably somebody posted it. And I was like, oh, this is the 3 minutes and 46 seconds. And he tells you the whole plan. You know, and it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon. You know, and it's just done so well that I played it on Radio 5G, too. Let me get over here to our chat and put it in there so that they can also.
Oh, that needs to be shared. That's precious. I love it, you know. I love to make 3.5-4 minute videos explaining things in concise, terms. And this is just fabulous.
And with a voice.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it was.
The voice wasn't bad at all, actually.
So, not only has Matthew and the virus given our audience the story, Mr. Gates has too.
That's lovely.
Who was that really?
Say again.
Who was it really?
I don't know. Let me go back. Let me see what I got up here. Can I find it quickly?
We need to get that posted on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. I have posted, or it has been. But PBG boy, what do you call it? Boy Golf Puppet Shot. And it's Willie G's dystopian future.
Oh, my God.
Dystopian future. I love it. I've got to share that all over the place.
And oddly enough, it's still up. You know, nothing is... The no-name thing seems to work. He doesn't identify himself. You identify him because it looks just like him. And because it sounds like him. Luckily, he has a voice that can be easily manipulated or whatever. But
That's a good find, Nancy. Well done.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I remembered it. Well, yeah. I couldn't help it when you started talking about it, because like I say, it's such a synopsis of what their plan is. Unfortunately for them, you know, we're armed. We're armed with the truth.
Yeah.
We're armed with the truth and we're armed. It's one of the things that comes up a lot for me is I shoot. I grew up in England and, you know, you learn clay pigeon shooting just in case you marry into the aristocracy, which would never have happened for me anyway. And I just happen to enjoy firearms. I don't go around killing people. I shoot clays. I do some plinking. I do have a defensive handgun if all else fails. But I always get this, well, you're a shaman. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if there's a mob at my door and my energy work has failed to hold back 1,000 people that are trying to kill me, that I'm just going to allow myself to be killed? Well, if it's 1,000 people, I guess I don't really have much of a chance. But the one in the scenario that we're in today, if we allow ourselves to be disarmed, it's over. On the physical 3D level, it's still a very important barrier to New World Order taking over. All of these people that are calling for disarmament are naive because we don't carry the collective awareness for disarmament. All of these people that are calling for the police to be demilitarized, I don't have a problem with that. but to be disarmed and defunded, I have a real problem with that. So all of these people that are going on about, oh, guns are terrible, guns are terrible. Who are you going to look to when they show up at your door? Not that they will, because we're going to win. But what would you do if they told you that for your own safety, you had to give away your guns? And then for your own safety, you had to give away your DNA. And for your own safety, you had to be inoculated. And that for your own safety or your children's safety, oh, you know, they might take your children away, but it's only for their safety. And they'll be taken away on these trains and taken somewhere very safe in the care of a state. And it just goes on and on and on. And it starts by them overtaking your mind, which they've already done. And if you watch scenarios where it doesn't matter whether it's fascism or communism, it's all the same damn thing. It's all a control mechanism. Disarming the population, that's where it all begins. And then they start to take all the other rights away from you. And before you know it, you are completely and utterly defenseless. All because you believed that my government would never do anything against me. Hey, oh, because I say some of you folks, your comrade ain't done in the middle. You know? That's Leghorn Foghorn is one of my favorite characters of all time, so yeah.
Just Annie, you're gonna like this one, okay? Atifa was promoting on Facebook that they were going to have this big get together, and you know they were going to teach you how to gouge out eyes or something. And some white supremacists identified themselves and said, "Where's this going to be, and when? We'll be there." And the Atifa canceled their event.
Yeah.
I said white supremacists, but that's not who these people are. I mean, there are people out there that see what they're really afraid. What they're really afraid of is all of the soldiers that they've created, because they sent these men and women into very, very awful, hellish environments. And the reason they went was to protect the country. They're patriots. And so you've got all these patriots that are not only armed, but know how to fight. And how many of them have they trained? Millions. Mm-hmm. That's what they're afraid of. Mm-hmm. And trust me, these are the people that I believe in. I'm one of them. I took the oath. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just walk away from it. These people have put their lives and their families in jeopardy for a supreme purpose, protect others. And they're still here. So if I didn't believe in anything else, I'd believe that if you went to the streets and, you know, it would be what the other guys, call white supremacists. That's not what they are at all. This is the American militia, that the constitutional right, not only a right, but a responsibility to actually stand up when you see government doing crazy shit. Any government.
And I am part of that militia, I will have you know, and I'm very proud to be.
Oh, me too.
Anybody wants to mess with an old lady with a Ruger 357 in my part of town, good luck to you.
Or with an old lady armed with a wasp spray.
Oh my God, Dolly.
I dare you.
Or somebody who is extremely experienced, who is armed with the armor of God.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. Yes,
and a whole Pew bunch of love, says, love blankets.
Arm yourself with that.
Yep, I've got my reinforcements as the Jin Nation.
you know?
I mean, you know. Come here. We'll cook you some food. You know. You know. I don't have any contract with you being able to get through those forces, and you know, in the last resort, well, there's always the ETs. Oh, excuse me. The last resorts is guardian angels that each and one of us have.
And that's all very well for you and for me and for all the people who talk to ETs and talk to djinns and talk to angels. And for anybody else who doesn't have that, there's Ruger.
A pistol.
Luger. Okay.
Yeah. Ruger. I'm not very fond of Lugers. I'm a Ruger gal.
Luger pistols is German.
They don't set well in my hand.
No.
You know, 61 years on this planet, I've handled firearms for years. Never once have I had to pull it and shoot at anyone. And I sincerely hope that day will never come. We have so much more up our... We have many tricks, we shamans, up our sleeves. And as I say, I'm not afraid of my neighbors. But I'll be damned if some state-sanctioned operative is going to come to my door and make me do, take, or say anything against my will.
Nope.
I got to tell you the story about my friend Sandy. Now, Sandy is somebody who is truly a devout Celtic spiritual person. And together we learned minerals and energology and magic and all sorts of things. But she doesn't talk about it too much, you know, but she is somebody that does all the holidays, she celebrates everything, you know. And she's at this thrift shop, and this guy behind her, as she's paying, grabbed her wallet and ran out of the store and started running down the street. And Sandy ran out the door, and she put her hand out, and she made the shape of a gun, and she went boom. And the guy fell down, turned around, looked at her, and threw the wallet away. And she did this in the front of a whole lot of people.
Yep. I love it.
So there's you got to be careful, boys and girls, if you really, you know, because I'm telling you, do you know about the Vedrus of Russia, Ani?
The Vedrus? No, tell me. How do you spell it?
V-E-D-R-U-S-S. Vedrus.
The Vedrus.
Yeah. I'm a Russian historian, you know, and I'm reading the books on Anastasia and the ringing cedar trees.
Right, ringing cedars, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so Walt and I went through the entire, all the books. We did, week after week, we did big book reviews. And when she started talking about the Vedrus, I'm going like, what's the matter with me? Because, you know, it's like the history of Russia starts with the Vikings coming into Russia, into that area. That's when it starts. I knew absolutely nothing, as somebody that prided myself as a Russian historian, about the native Russians that were there to begin with. Nothing. And all of a sudden, Anastasia's telling us about these people and how they lived, and I mean, it was like, oh my God, you know, I mean, so it was just such a wonderful place. And then, you know, five priests come in and do the voodoo on them and start churches and control, mind control and stuff. And the Vedrus being so really, really mature in, let's say, the 3D realm, said, oh, this is not going to turn out good. Let's get out of here. And so they just left. And they went into an etheric kind of like cold storage sort of thing and waited until today. And so you've got a lot of people that don't even realize that they were the Vedrus come alive with all of the magic and all of the knowledge and everything. And that's the players that I see that are really behind this. And they don't, I mean, like a lot of them haven't identified that, you know, knowledge yet.
Anastasia is a descendant of the Vedrus.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that's where I heard. That's where I first started learning the history of them. And it was like, whoa, that's crazy, you know. But talk about a hidden. I mean, this was a civilization that had existed there for a very long time. I'm a historian of Russia, and I don't know that. You know, wow, you talk about hiding history.
What was the first time we might have heard of them? somewhere we would have heard of the Rus during the time of the Roman Empire, for sure. Because I think that must be where we get the word rustic from. Rural, rustic, Rus, pagans. I'm going to have to look that up, exactly which part of the Roman Empire they were in. But yes, it's all coming back to me now with Anastasia.
Interesting. You're being asked, do you don the mask by Infinity 8?
What mask?
The mask. Yeah, Ani, does Ani wear the mask? Don the mask. I'm
assuming.
Do you wear masks when you go out in public?
Absolutely not. No. I don't wear masks, and I have withdrawn my custom from any organization that requires me to wear a mask and stand in line.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I don't go out, so I don't have to confront it.
Yeah, no, I go out. If on occasion, if a couple of my clients have felt more comfortable that they wanted to wear a mask, they're more than welcome, but I tell them I don't, because it doesn't help.
Well, it's also very dangerous. You know, there's this, I could play it, it's 11 minutes, though, and it's too long. There's this woman who did research in California regarding the OSHA regulations concerning masks. And she found out that a mask that is down to 19.5 oxygen intake is a dangerous thing. And that if somebody's got to use these for extended times, they're required to have a mask that has a meter in it. Well, we don't have these things, and these poor kids working, you know, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day with these masks on at the grocery store are severely restricting the oxygen to the brain that cannot be fixed, but they're also causing pleurisy to develop in the lungs, which has the same symptoms as COVID. You know, it's like, whoa. And this, she put out like these little statements, and if you're talking to somebody that is the manager of the store, you threaten them with the practice of medicine without a license, requiring me to wear a mask. You know, how do you know it's not safe? And then the OSHA regulations, and I mean, it's healthyamerican.org. Healthyamerican.org. She's got a tab that says masks. Anybody who hasn't read that or thinks that they want to have ammunition to be able to explain to somebody why you're not going to jeopardize your health to wear that.
I asked three separate businesses. They said, well, you have to wear a mask to come in, and we'll give you a mask. And I said, show me the box. These are three large Big Lots stores. And on those boxes, all three of them, it specifically said that it would not stop viral infection. So I said, well, you've lost my custom, so bully for you, but why then are you insisting that people wear? Let me see a supervisor, let me see a manager. And they said, well, it's just to help people feel safe. So I said, okay, so it's an illusion. The whole thing's just BS and you're all buying into it. Because, well, we have to do what we're told from home office and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I even went to the bank and they're wearing masks. They didn't ask me to wear a mask, but I said, can I see the box on your masks? And they said, certainly. And I said, look, it says here that it's not going to protect you from viral infection. So why are you doing it? Well, it might slow something down. So at any given time, there's hundreds of thousands of contagions in the air, including bubonic plague on four continents. So does anybody not see a problem with this?
Well, you might want to get yourself a copy of that OSHA regulation and say, look, this is what you're doing to yourself. Because, yeah, you have to give people an excuse to break the chain of regulations. And if you can't give them something of real substance, you know, and the real substance is, it's making you brain dead.
People, you know, I get it. You know, my entire life is about spreading awareness. But these days, people, probably because they've been wearing the masks for so long, they don't have any oxygen in the brain. When I talk to people about it, they just look at me as if I come from another planet. You know, you got to pick your battles here.
Yeah, that's why I like these. The reason that I got into this was that this this one person put together a little card, like a business card, on 5G, and she was leaving it in the grocery store in the produce around on the count, you know, in with the other cans and stuff, you know, just putting them out there so that maybe somebody would take this and say, "What's this about?" Right? So I like these little messages, but I agree with you. So what we have to do is we have to figure out graphics so that they can just look at the pictures.
Yes.
You know? Mask, no oxygen, brain dead.
Yes. Yep. Well, that's about the attention span of most people, especially if they've been masked all day.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And you know, Dr. Paul, who was just... he was the one that went out and said 5G is the stupidest thing that mankind's ever done. And, you know, he said that his greatest fear was that before people could wake up enough to understand what was happening, they'd already be brain dead. He didn't say brain dead, but he said cognitively not able to understand it.
I think that's something that's gone through a lot of our minds.
Yeah. So instead of putting things in words, we need to use more graphics.
Agreed. I like pictures.
I know.
We should do 5G awareness coloring books.
Oh, there you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
There you're talking.
Then you could get the kids, too.
Yeah. Oh, we should start Illuminati. Discover the Illuminati coloring books. Okay,
well,
don't try
to publish that on Amazon. Amazon's actually keeping some authors off of censoring them. And this one guy, he said, I just happen to have a job, you know, in media. But how many other people are getting, you know, censored?
Hey, Nancy, did you see that? I think it was on Hannity, and there were two black men.
When they started screaming at each other?
Oh, not those two.
Oh, that was
I muted and didn't look. No, I don't know. They were just two men, and they're the two black men that I like. The one guy, he's a radio host, and he's a big man, and the other guy was very Democratic until just a week. He has denounced the Democrats and is now going to vote for Trump, and he gets all worked up about how he has seen what the Democrats' main and real agenda is, and he wants all the Democrats, the good ones, to pay attention and to switch their parties.
Yep. They just have to have an excuse. We got to give them the excuse. Okay, so we're just at 2 minutes from the end of the show. You guys got anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with? Thank you, listeners, for being here. Love you guys.
Yeah. No, I'd just like to say to everybody, remember, it's very important that we try to be as independent as possible from the state. So do what you can, as much as you can, to be as self-sufficient as you can, so that you always have a water supply, a food supply, that you're not dependent upon the state when the next major pandemic comes around. And remember what it is to be an American. A free thinker with mutual respect for all humanity. That's the essence of what is an American.
And I would like to say, please accept yourself for who you are and accept others for who they are. And remember, we all have red blood running through our veins. Try to do your best to learn to get along with each other. Accept each other. Work out your differences. Learn to communicate. And thanks for listening, everybody. From Dolly World, bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.